chime. Love a good wind instrument. A good reed instrument.
Is that a flute?
The best.
I think that's the flute, yeah. Reminds me of Mr. Burgundy when he would regale those that were at the restaurant with his flute playing.
I'm more of a piccolo guy.
Restaurant owner. I mean, everybody knew Ron Burgundy in that place, Wiggy.
Ron Burgundy.
They just wanted him to play if if he would just play
instant panty drop.
The jazz flute. I have to say, you kind of are the Ron Burgundy of Boston.
Oh, Curtis, thank you. Wait, is that a compliment?
I don't know.
I like these kind of, like, I mean, I love a, you know, we all love a witty response. Courtney said there's a news segment that she's doing that is directed at me or my favorite island, and somebody in the Twitch chat said Thousand Island, and that is not... That is not my favorite.
Love Thousand Island
not
dressing.
My favorite island.
Oof. That works on everything.
So good.
We are going to Thousand Island on a roast beef sandwich.
I've never done that.
I mean, Thousand Island or Russian. Is there a difference between Thousand Island or Russian?
Yeah, you wouldn't like Russian.
Russian.
Isn't Thousand Island like a little bit more thicker and has like the pickle?
I think there is actually a difference. Russian dressing on a roast beef sandwich with pickles.
You mean like a North Shore roast beef or a regular deli roast beef?
Like a deli roast beef.
Okay.
I mean, North Shore, I would never sully a North Shore roast beef with anything other than I go three-way.
Yeah, and I go sauce and cheese.
I would go. Oh, you don't go.
No, I never
go. You want the barbecue sauce on it?
Huh?
You want sauce and cheese?
Yeah, sauce and cheese, yeah. Yeah, just the regular James River with the cheese. Growing up.
How can you not put mayo on that?
Because growing up, it wasn't really that big for us in East Boston, the three-way. So we really just went with sauce and cheese.
Per a quick Google, Greg, the key distinction is the flavor profile. Russian features horseradish and chili pepper, making it slightly spicy, whereas Thousand Island features sweet pickle relish as a key ingredient.
I'm spot on when it comes to dressings and foods of all kinds.
I got to tell you, Greg, I have been trying to, but I have stumbled upon a new way to lust after food.
What are you, like the Globo gym where you're getting your nipples zapped?
No, I was looking for something on Netflix, and I happened to be a little hungry because it was before dinner time, and Chef's Table Noodle Edition dropped.
All pasta dishes.
So like they go, they follow like four of the greatest noodle makers on the planet, and it is outstanding. I'm a big fan.
Can I ask a question for everybody? Because I don't want to have done the wrong thing, and I don't want to go down this road. But can you go to school without the chickenpox vaccine in Massachusetts?
It used to be. You know, we live in questioning age.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be you couldn't. You might be able to now, Curtis.
Man, I'm not 100%
sure. Yeah, so James
sure.
got the vax, so that's why I don't know. Like, he's not going to be invited to the chickenpox party, unfortunately.
Wow. Ty Law's here early this morning.
Wow.
I love it. Holy cow, good
I
morning.
Told you, he's an H-U-S-T-L-E-R hustler. Man, don't stop.
All right, we got to get, we must get to the news then. Hi, how are you? Great to see you, Ty. Let's get right to the rest of the news. Curtis, I think you should ask about that, though, because...
I'm going to.
We were talking about the chicken pox parties, and so I think you should ask about that. Okay, what do you want to start with, Courtney?
Oh, this story is kind of crazy. Two women, Teresa and Tara, were flying Spirit Airlines from L.A. to New Orleans when they were booted off by a male flight attendant for their attire.
Mm.
So apparently the two women and... Mitch has video to go along with this. We're wearing leggings and sweaters, but as one does, you get on the flight, it's a little toasty. They took the sweaters off, and the flight attendant said they were in crop tops.
Oh, they went sweater cape.
Yes.
What's wrong with that?
No, and there's so nothing wrong with that.
What's the big deal with crop tops?
She got jeans on.
Yeah.
You show more on Instagram in the bathtub.
Right.
Well, that was a mistake. But yes. The statement that a rep for Spirit Airlines released, our contract of carnage. I'm sorry, not carnage. Oh. Our contract of carriage.
All right.
Wait a second. Can you imagine? You're spot on.
Yes.
Like if you're going to fly Spirit, they make you sign a contract of carnage. Done with the news. That's it.
All right. I was like, where? What is this contract?
This was a game my mom said, no, that's not right. It's a document that all guests agree on when they make their reservations. It includes certain clothing standards for all guests traveling with them. So they're investigating the matter. But yeah, contract of carriage, ridiculous. Not carnage.
Give me a break.
I would sue the airlines like crazy if I was these two girls.
Of all airlines, Spirit, where they charge you to bring your phone on.
Right. Yeah. They should be paying you to get on now. You can't pay me to get on Spirit.
No.
I won't get on
hell no.
Spirit.
No,
You would, though, if you had to sign a contract of cleavage. you would hop right on there.
Nothing wrong with that.
Are we getting to nerds?
Yeah, gosh, there's so many good stuff.
Yeah, I want to get nerds and whatever your segment is.
Okay, so we'll get to the nerds next.
Okay.
The Greg Hill Show presents Nerds in the News. In the news.
Michael Arteaga, a 16-year-old, Shime, has become the first person to completely defeat the original Tetris.
Wait, really? I didn't even know this was possible.
Yeah, he used a crash-resistant version of the game and made it to Rebirth, which means that the whole game starts over. You've completed Tetris.
Oh,
wow.
Would you like...
Shime, do you believe this?
I can't.
I'm
stunned. First
person in the world to do it?
At 16 years old.
Unbelievable.
We can hear from Shime's hero, Arteaga.
Oh my god, Ash, that was going to end at 254. I just messed it up. All the ore is gone now. It's all gone. It's actually all gone, man. Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god, Ash got rebirth. Oh my god!
Wow. Oh my god, this is it. does he get anything for it?
I don't believe so. Bragging rights.
But he achieves something that nobody else has ever achieved in the history of nerddom.
Yeah.
He gets to stay a virgin for the next 25 years.
Do you ever play any of the old games, Shime?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Tetris, huh?
What are your go-tos?
Well, I was a big Pokemon fan, so I play the old Pokemon games constantly.
Oh, you do?
Very frequently.
On what system?
Yeah, what is that?
I can play on my computer. You can download like emulators and such, and it allows you to play right there on your computer.
I thought it was
everybody knows that.
Yeah, I mean, you can play literally any retro game you want nowadays, thanks to emulators and like the mini versions of like the PlayStation and Sega Genesis that they
dropped. I thought you were going to say like
emulator.
Mario Brothers. Who the hell knows?
An emulator is just a program that allows you to play a file of a game.
Yes, Wiggy. I wrote the program myself.
I got the stand-up video game. I got all of them.
Microphone.
The arcade game.
The arcade game. They got all of them. You know what I mean? You can just plug it in.
Wait, are you a gamer?
No, I'm not a gamer, but I got an arcade. Arcade system. Like pinball machines. Yeah.
Did you ever play yourself in Madden?
Yeah, I've played it through my son, but I don't play it like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah. I mean, I'm really not a gamer like
the arcade games
are
the best.
Huh?
The arcade.
I like the fighting games. I played football for a little. I don't want to play football again. Right. Damn.
So you want like Mortal Kombat?
I like challenges like that. Yeah.
And then when they had Mike Tyson's Knockout.
Yeah.
You still love
Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong. You still love Pitfall.
Yeah.
Frogger.
Frogger was so fun.
Q-Bert.
Yeah.
Pac-Man,
Miss Pac-Man, all those. Yeah, all that stuff.
I remember like
Frogger was dope.
Yeah, Frogger was the best.
When I was a kid, right down your kids live in East Boston, right?
My daughter does.
Yeah, right down in Central Square, we used to go to the arcade. Yeah. Man, with $10 in quarters, that was like the greatest time. The arcade's don't exist no more.
The track and field game is great too. You play that? See, I got that one.
Somewhat recent history.
Tons of fun.
I got one of them.
When I say recent history, I mean like the last 10 years. But don't sleep on Temple Run.
Oh,
okay.
The mobile game?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not hitting that one.
Yes.
People love that. So we do have a new segment that we are going to introduce because from time to time we do bring up one of Greg's favorite places. So we're going to call it Affluenza Island.
It's about Nantucket.
It's about Nantucket.
All right.
Okay, well, it's kind of a shot at the people of Nantucket.
It's really not.
Okay.
I think that they would take that.
It's a direct shot at them.
Okay.
Because a partially completed waterfront spec house built on Pocomo Road, which is a very nice road on Nantucket, in 2023 has sold last November for $19.2 million. If you're watching on Twitch, this is from the Nantucket Current on Instagram, one of the best accounts to follow.
Okay, so this is a 19.2 mansion that was built on this property.
Yes.
Wow.
And it's almost done, or it is done?
Partially done.
Okay.
Damn.
And it just sold.
Beautiful.
It sold in November.
Yes.
The new owner is going to completely demolish and redesign a new mansion in place of it.
Okay.
The property as it's...
Look at Ty.
He's about to tear it down.
Yes. Completely tear it down.
He got too much money on his hands.
That's a lot of money.
He don't know what to do with his.
Yeah, right. As it stands right now, it's 5,600 square feet.
All right.
But the buyer submitted alternative plans through a trust for the waterfront compound. Last month, it requested permission from the Historic District Commission to demolish the new structure. I believe this person wants maybe a few... spots on the land.
Okay.
The request will be heard by the HDC today.
I wonder who that is buying that.
Feckless young sod.
Yes. Feckless young sod.
That is a nice piece of land, though.
I would venture to guess that the person that's buying that and knocking it down is someone that is against the scourge of climate change.
I'd probably do the same thing. I'd be like, man, knock that ish down. I'm about to put something.
Oh, you pay $19 million. We ain't put no furniture in there. We're going to leave it just like that.
$19 million. I want that thing, especially where it is right there, I want that thing to be all glass.
What? No, you don't.
I don't want to look
right
like
on the
that.
Water.
That's not a $19 million house. Maybe the land.
The land, yeah.
The house itself. Look at the place. It's giant.
That's gorgeous.
No, it isn't.
What'd you say, 5,800 square feet?
Yeah, that's small.
Not big. That's small.
Right.
For $19 million.
Oh, my God.
$19 million?
That place looks unbelievable.
See,
right on the water.
It's nice for
that's a private
us,
beach
you know,
below.
Regular folk, but somebody can pay $19 million.
Yes.
You don't pay for that house.
No, you pay for,
you said
the land.
That's nice for us regular folk?
Yeah, that's for us. Yeah, we will live in
it. We're talking about billionaires. Billionaires come in, they knock that down, and they say, I want all glass. I want this thing to be 10,000 square feet, Courtney.
You would pay $19 million for that.
If I had $19 million, yes.
You would?
Yeah.
100%. That's gorgeous.
Yeah. No.
All right.
No.
Anyway.
They don't
know. So what's it
going to
cost?
No.
What do you think it's going to cost? So they're going to knock the $19.2 million three quarters of the way done place down and then build another one for 20, 25, or 30 or whatever? That's wild.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Courtney.
You're very welcome.
That's the news. Ty Law is here. We'll talk Patriots and other things with him coming up right now, Courtney, and what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Chiefs beat the Saints on Monday Night Football 26-13, your final score. Patrick Mahomes completed 28 of 39 passes for 331 yards and an interception. On the other side, Derek Carr did go down with an oblique injury. He is set to undergo an MRI today. And a bit of an update for Rashee Rice. He needs an LCL repair. He's expected to miss the rest of the season. The Bruins kick off their season tonight in Florida against the Panthers. Puck drop is at 7. Jeremy Swayman has signed on the dotted line, but he did miss training camp, so fans weren't expecting to see him in goal tonight for the opener. But Jim Montgomery talked to reporters yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
I don't know. He's a potential goalie tomorrow night.
That's
undecided. We're undecided.
Jabril Peppers was in court yesterday facing assault, strangulation, and drug charges stemming from last weekend. He pled not guilty. I'm sure we'll get Ty's reaction to that coming up next. And you've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. Four hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It is 50 degrees in Boston. Afternoon high, sunny 63.
It is a Ty Tuesday with Ty Law, and Ty Law is brought to you by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of Pro Football Hall of Famer Ty Law, and by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good to be back here in the studio with you guys, man.
Yeah, you all better after the bubble guts?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm feeling good now. I mean, drinking Corvus, all that good stuff.
Yeah, it was a virus or something you ate?
It had to be something that I ate.
Yeah, that's
what I mean.
Quick turnaround.
It was quick. You know, I'm just
BGs ain't nothing to play
better
with.
Better safe than sorry.
That
call
it.
In.
That's true. Shyam said earlier that Drake May is already getting fantasy points in fantasy football in advance of this week. I don't know who knows what, but Is it May time as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, well, it's good. Got to call Mayday. Mayday, come on in. Yeah. It's that time. But I was like, you know, five games. I think I said that earlier.
Yeah.
But look at the protection, guys. Let's just talk about how bad of an example of a football game in both those teams was. It wasn't just the Patriots that looked bad. God damn it, Miami looked bad too. You know what I mean? That was just bad football all the way around. But it's time to let the young boy go out there and play, understanding that they got to pick up on that protection. They don't have much protection. So I see where Coach Mayo was going with it by not throwing that boy into the fire, because you can't protect, you know, a vet. You know what I mean? So you can get a little gunshot. But that offensive line, defensive line, they need to fix that immediately.
Well, not defending the offensive line, but don't you feel like more so this week than previous weeks, it was on Jacoby Brissett and not on
he the – He holds on to the ball way
not
too
on
long.
The protection? Yeah.
I mean, I know they're called coverage sacks, but he's got to get.
Come on, bro.
He got to get to the point where you got to let your nuts drop, and guess what? Every now and then you got to throw the ball before the guy.
Well, call the plays then where you can get it out quick. I mean, obviously he's dropping back, and they're getting to him. The offensive line is not protected.
But there were times when he had time to throw. He's just so gun shy on turning the ball over that he's not even willing to risk a throw unless he sees his guy wide open. But that's not the NFL.
Listen, I hear this too when it comes to arguing for Jacoby Brissett, the play calling. So is your issue more Alex Van Pelt than it is Jacoby Brissett?
Everybody quarterback get it all the time, but look at the offense.
Okay, but if that's the case, you don't fix it by putting Drake May in this week.
Gerard kept saying yesterday, like it was a breakdown in execution. So that falls on Jacoby. That doesn't fall on the play calling. Right.
Execution doesn't necessarily mean the quarterback. It could mean the offensive line play, executing them, getting your assignments. I mean, they are getting to that man so quick. I would blitz him every single time until they figure it out. And they haven't figured it out. Even in the Drake May is going to have – he's going to have a time. He's going to have a time on his hands because he's not being protected. And the only thing that can happen is either step up and show some promise and get some confidence, or – it can go the other way, and we've both been around long enough to see that when you put a young quarterback in the game and he's not doing anything. Now you got the pressure of everyone coming in at you. Man, but
at this point in time, you're the number 3 overall pick. And I look at it like this team stinks. They're not making the playoffs. It's now like put him in to get him as much experience as possible.
Now's the time to get him.
So then – when this season's over, in the off season, he can now sit down with the coaches, self-evaluate where he is and say, here's what I need to work on. Here's what I need to do better. Right. Here's the mistakes that I made. Here's what I would do different in this situation. And the other thing I talked about was just to see his developmental growth mentally from week to week. Is he still making the same simple mistakes that he made in week 6?
Right.
That he's making in week 8.
Right. He's going to get better. You know, once he get in, he's going to have his rookie mistakes. Like I said, the quarterback position is very hard to pick up at this level. But the offensive coordinator, you got to get your boys up front together. They need to call Scarnecchia back on something. You know what I mean? Have him come in for a couple days a week, you know, to get these boys ready, man, because you're third overall. Like I said, he's sitting in there. You're going to have to play him. You're going to see what he has to do. You do not want to get him hurt. You know what I mean? You don't want to let him lose confidence. Mm-hmm. And also, you got to get him some damn talent. I'm still trying to figure out who's these receivers we got. Somebody got to say it.
We don't know who they are.
I don't either.
Because they don't throw the
– how you go – you can't mutiny and call – any. You can't pick it when you ain't got nothing to pick it for. You know, that don't make no sense. You know what I mean?
Well, you know who's doing all the picketing? It's – you know, you've been around long enough to know, like I've been around long enough to know, it's the receivers. And the receivers are upset because they ain't getting the ball. They're the biggest voices in there.
Now, if you had somebody – let's say Randy Moss.
Okay.
Devontae Adams.
All right.
You know, Tyreek Hill.
All right.
Then you got to, you know, you can rally the troops and maybe, hey, guys, we're going to do this. And we're going to call a picket. But let Pope, would you say a name?
Jalen Pope.
Jalen Pope. Name me another one.
Pop Douglas.
Okay, Pop Douglas. Y'all go out there and pick it and say something, you're going to be standing out there by your damn self. Ain't nobody following y'all.
But that's the talent they got, though.
Exactly. So guess what? You can't pick it till you get some talent. You can't sit there and even make an argument because you haven't done anything. If you're making this quarterback better and he's just not getting it, you're catching balls and you got numbers, that's one thing. But no one is going to listen or follow a guy that's on, you know, damn near out 1 foot out the door anyway.
I hate this argument because it's the NFL and so it shouldn't matter. But when it comes to the confidence of Drake May, have you put yourself in a bad spot? Because if you are going to start him, you're going to start him against a really good Texans team?
I would have waited till after this game. You know what I mean?
Okay, but then you're going to London.
Huh?
Then you're going to go to London. So
you can blame it on the jet lag when he don't play well.
Plus, Jacksonville's not that good.
Jacksonville, they ain't great. But I say this is the time now, Greg, that you have to put him into the game. You can see what he's going to do. We all understand that you're likely not going to the playoffs. So if you do have a chance, let's give it with the young boy. But okay, this is a rebuilding year. We all understand that. We just expected you to compete a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
be a little bit more competitive. You know what I mean? But outside of that, it's going to be a whole revamp again
right.
because some of these guys, a lot of these guys, won't be here next year. We had teams where you might lose one or two guys and they replace, but you're going to get rid of 7, 8, 9. Possibly so-called core guys with this team.
Well, Greg, you were right when you said it should have been last week against a crappy Miami team with no quarterback is when you should have put Drake May in and gave him the call. But now you're at the point of basically, listen, we got to throw you in the deep end, baptism by fire, whatever cliche you want to call it, we need to just throw you in there and just say to the kid, no matter how many mistakes you make, you're our guy. Mm-hmm. We understand that. Just we want to see you improve week to week right. in small areas.
Do you think Curtis, Ty, Wiggy, Courtney, Scheim, do you think what has gone on in the last 24 hours with Jabril Peppers is another reason, fan-wise, perception-wise, to start Drake May because you removed the narrative there?
I don't think it's fan-wise. I would say that if I'm Jonathan and Robert Kraft, it would be a great way to move the attention away from
that's
it.
Yes. I mean the fans' attention.
Yeah, like, totally.
This is a great time for that because, you know, so much negativity is surrounding what's going on right now, the allegations. Mm-hmm. We don't know what's true and what's not true, but putting Drake May in the driver's seat will definitely take some of the pressure off and, you know, you will spin it that way. You know what I mean? And
right.
People are going to go back to
Curtis's lead this morning. I don't want to speak for Curtis, but Curtis, your lead this morning was the way Mayo addressed that on this show yesterday. You didn't think was the best.
Yeah. He spoke with him. Gerard Mayo told us he spoke with Jabril Peppers after he was arrested. And I asked if he was still on the team, and Gerard Mayo said, you know, once you get all the facts, you know, you'll understand it, but I can't speak further, or something to that effect. I
mean, we don't know, essentially, paraphrasing, but we don't. Well, Scheim, you could probably find it, but we don't know.
All the information. And to me, if I am Gerard Mayo, and I may completely trust Jabril Peppers, and he may be getting wrongfully accused of something horrific. But until I have the other side's info, I would just simply say we want to wait and see what happened here. We want to collect all the information before we make a judgment. Until then, Jabril Peppers will be out of the facility. That's how when you're talking about strangulation and assault against a woman, I just don't think you want to have any part of that.
Right. I mean, him leaving the building, however you handle, maybe he didn't, you know, articulate it the way that most people may have wanted him to articulate it, but it's still allegations. No, it is. I'm not, you know, taking this side because, you know, no man should put his hands on a woman, period, point blank. You know what I mean? But it's still allegations at this point. And I was saying something earlier, and like I said, this is no way defending him. But I've seen a situation, you know, with a teammate, and we were supposed to go back to training camp, and we rode home together. We lived in the same community. I go and pick him up to get back to training camp for meetings, and next thing you know, the girl's banging on his door. Police end up coming. He called the police, and as soon as they got there, she said he hit me.
Was it Tom Brady?
No, it was not Tom Brady. Okay. No, it was not Tom Brady. And I don't want to bring this up, but I'm just saying for an example, They took him to jail. I had to go back to the coach and say, hey, I was there. He did not put his hands on her, da-da-da-da-da. But as soon as he got in the police car, what did she do? She looked at him, stuck her tongue out, and flipped him the bird and said, and it was really messed up. But right. I happened to see it, and I was the witness. So, of course, nothing happened. Knows. But I'm not saying whatever happens with him, you got to see what it really is, because sometimes, you know, it goes down there like they win. But if you put your hand on a woman, you wrong as hell, and he should get reprimanded for it.
It's hard in these cases to figure out what really happened, because it's a he said...
What's the allegation?
The allegation is, from the police report, is that they were being intimate, 4 a.m., involved in intimacy.
Yep.
And her phone rang, and it was a dude that was calling during the act, and that upset.
What came on the song? Genuine or something came on?
And that upset Jabril Peppers, and then that's where they had an altercation. He says that he told her to leave, and that she fell. She was intoxicated and fell going down the stairs. She says that he grabbed her around the neck and did horrible things to her, and that's so.
Basically, her. Jabril's supposed to be her boyfriend in the side.
I'm saying, what was it? A ringtone? What came on there?
I'm guessing it was just a name.
But I'm saying, though, how are you engaged in intimacy and hearing the phone ring?
Yeah.
You must not have been doing too well because you were worrying about somebody's damn phone.
Honestly, it happens in Canton, Massachusetts, apparently all the time.
they can't hear the phone ring.
It's a butt dial.
Right.
But she got one of those rings, you know, like my
man.
My,
she might have had a ringtone that wasn't his.
The ringtones nowadays where it's like your kids calling or the wife's calling, it'll tell you who's calling. Maybe the ringtone was like Steph Diggs is calling. He was like, what?
But don't the New England Patriots have to say,
Greg, is it true that your ringtone for Lindsay is My Heart Will Go On?
I should have. I don't know. If I knew how to set up a ringtone.
We could do that.
Technology-wise, I would do that.
I don't think anybody's doing that no more, Greg.
We've got to merge your iPod Shuffle to your phone at some point.
You do that, they're going to really look at you as being a boomer.
But how do you go from that over a phone call, if you're supposed to be intimate somebody, consensual, to be like that don't sound right to me.
I feel like we're burying the lead here, which is that however it happened, she is alleging that something awful happened. And so if you're the New England Patriots, don't you have to say, you know, you gotta stay away until this is settled in court?
Because a precedent was already set by... In the league with so many others, including, you know, with the Ray Rice situation, you know, not to bring up, you know, his situation, but the precedent has already been set. So I think that keeping him away from the building, away from the distractions, put in Drake May so the focus will go back to football until the investigation, until the trial. I think that would be the best thing to do. So
That could be months down the road.
But what I said is, if you're the Patriots organization, it's a much better look if you take him out of the building and it ends up not being anything, this video is that his defense team says that they have, then if you play him and it turns out that he strangled a woman, hit her head up against the wall numerous times, threw her down a flight of stairs, and then locked her out of the house naked.
And if he did that, he need his ass whooped. I'm going to say that right here. If anything like that, anything closer like that happened, he need to get reprimanded, ass whooped. Mm-hmm. Where's a brother? Where's a daddy?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. But if it's something that's a false claim, you know, just get out the building and then everything will be okay when you come back. But unfortunately, you have to go through all the ridicule and the media and the speculation right now. But, hey, I wouldn't even want to come to the building. I wouldn't want to sit there and distract my teammates.
Right.
And be there in the meeting, like, and then have to tell everybody and people looking at you sideways. So he shouldn't even want to be down in the building.
Ty Law is here. We're going to take a quick break. Chris wants to talk to you about Jerod Mayo and some decisions that he is making. Mm-hmm. And we got to get to the most entertaining play of the game, which is harder and harder to do as the season progresses. But it's a Ty Tuesday. More with Ty Law coming up next. It is a Ty Tuesday, and that means the Hall of Famer Ty Law is here. And this is Chris from New Hampshire. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
Just a quick comment and a question. So I think we, one, with our receiver base, I think we're underutilizing Hunter Henley huge. I think we should be hitting him across the middle. But the big question, so I was in the Marine Corps 10 years. Ty, love you, buddy. We were watching Super Bowls from Iraq, super good teams. But so I hear the word discipline come out of our OJ's mouth every week with you guys, right? Discipline, discipline. But if you're a running back on that team and you have a chance to win and you call four passing plays, are you not going back to that locker room being like, what the hell is this guy doing? All year long he's been saying we're a run-first team and we're going to be disciplined. And that entire game, I just where's the discipline? Where's the run-first?
Curtis,
am I missing something?
Curtis, you inquired about that yesterday, I think, with Jerod Mayo.
I believe that Jerod Mayo is in a – really, really crappy spot. He has a job that he wants. It's a great job. There's only 32 of them. But I don't think he has say on offense. I don't think he has say when he starts Drake May.
Ugh.
And I think that four pass plays in a row from the 12-yard line was just so awful. Like, I don't get it. The only thing you can do at a level that is NFL okay, NFL level, is run the football. And you elect not to at the most important drive of the game. I just don't get it.
Well, and you cannot, like the caller brings up Hunter Henry, you cannot throw the football downfield to the middle of the field to a guy with no chance to get out of bounds.
Yeah, that don't make sense.
I guess that's...
That's on Jacoby Brissett.
Correct.
That's on Jacoby.
And that should be enough. Like, is that not enough to be done with Jacoby Brissett?
Well, Courtney asked another great question about that, and he said the execution on that whole play itself was trash. Mm-hmm. Because in that point in time, you either could take a shot at the sidelines, or if you are going to throw it, you got to throw it into the end zone. And they throw it to Hunter Henry at like the 10-yard line or whatever. Yeah. And you have no timeouts. And there's no way you could get a Mayday call out there or anything like that to spike the football. It's one of those things.
We need Mayday.
So Jerod Mayo said to us the whole execution was trash. So
and it was a theme during the game.
Whether it's the play call where you got three guys that are not going in the end zone.
Well, because you mentioned that you don't think that he has –
Somebody on that play was near end zone. Hunter Henry, but
I don't know.
Was it Polk?
No, because
I wouldn't be shocked. There were two guys in the end zone, I think.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah, when you said
I'll go check the All-22 for
Curtis, that he doesn't, you know, have the power to pull. Didn't he hire the offensive coordinator? Were you the head coach?
No, I don't think he did.
Because the offensive coordinator came from Cleveland.
And
was in Green Bay or was in Cleveland with Elliott Wolf, the GM. And everybody that's hired, listen to this.
Okay.
Everybody that is hired on the defensive side of the football, Mayo has some type of connection to.
Okay.
Everybody on the offensive side, no connection. And the only people that he did have connection to, which was Troy Brown, now he's been relegated to developmental return guy, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, some made up title. So you see now you put some context into it. So, but as the head coach, you should still have the authority to say, "Hey, this is what we're gonna do." Override it. You know what I mean? It's been times
he has referred to Alex Van Pelt multiple times as the head coach of the offense. So, I don't. That's a nice thing to say, But I don't know why you are saying that unless you're trying to...
Nobody wants to be a placeholder as a head coach. You know what I'm saying? He's the head coach of offense. I'm the head coach.
I'm the head coach.
Exactly.
Like, which I don't understand that part of it, you know?
He was... Greg asked a few follow-ups with him where it was like, who makes the decision when it comes to Jacoby and Drake? Is it a collaborative effort? Is it just you? And he looked you dead in the eye yesterday and made sure to say it over and over again. It is just me.
Okay, so what's he waiting for?
I mean,
he said himself yesterday on our show and afterwards that Jacoby Brissett did not do what he needed to do to win the football game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Crafts tell everybody that will listen and people that speak on their behalf that they have nothing to do with football. Do we believe that? I don't.
Jonathan
Kraft has a role in the Patriots front office, and if it was my team, I'd want one too. But I mean,
you know that's a false statement there. You know what I mean? He definitely has something to do with it. Man, they paying the players. You just look at the documentary what happened with Drew and Tom.
Right.
You know what I mean? You get involved when it's your quarterback. You know what I mean? It's a new transition to head coach. So the only people in place are the Crafts and the Crafts family. So, you know, to say they're not involved, I wouldn't buy that one because they're very involved as they should. They own the team.
Right.
And shout out to Shine for this, and I'm actually looking at it at the All 22. There was only one person who was going towards the end zone, and that looked like Jalen Polk.
It was Jalen Polk.
I just said. Why are you shouting out Shine?
Oh, you said it was.
Yeah. I went back and verified the video.
Well, shout out to Greg.
Thanks.
Yeah, get Greg his.
Oh, my bad. I need crumbs.
Yeah,
like,
my
dude,
bad.
Like, please.
My bad.
They ran three.
I mean,
routes.
I'm standing right here.
My bad. Well, shout out
to. He wants to give it to the Swami over there.
All right.
The football guy.
Yeah, well, I have the All 22 up here, Greg. Of course he does.
Well, shout out to Greg because they only had one guy in the end zone. Hunter Henry catches it at the 10-yard line. It's a four-man route, and the other two guys.
The dragon and in and a post.
The other two guys are below the 20-yard line. Yeah. So shout out to Greg for noticing that.
So are you saying, though, that's Jacoby Brissett, or that's really that's play calling?
That's play calling.
Is it though? No, because like so by the formation of the play, it and like the routes, it looks like they wanted to get a guy quick hit, get out of bounds, and get closer to the end zone for their one final shot.
No,
like that's what it looks like.
Yeah,
but instead, Jacoby Brissett attacks Hunter Henry, who's not at the sideline. Like he could have. Pop Douglas is running an in route here, and is gonna. He opens up just over the 30-yard line, and would have gone right out of bounds and given you a shot at the end zone.
Listen, let's put this in context for guys who understand who played the game. When
I want to give Greg credit. Good job, Greg.
Thank you.
Good job, Greg.
Great job, Greg.
For noticing this. At that point in time, there's only 12 seconds on the play clock. So it's one of those plays where it has to be quick 5-yard outs to the sideline.
Right.
Yes.
Even if you throw it to Pop Douglas, who's running like a 12-yard in, you might not have enough time to get up there, spike the ball, and take a shot at the end zone. So it's two things. We're either going to have one guy hit the sideline super quick or two guys, 5-yard out routes, or we're running four verticals to the end zone.
Right.
Yeah,
this play design was they had two guys running. One guy's running a shallow cross from the other side of the field, and the other guy's running a dig behind that.
Yeah. The unfortunate Coach Wiggins had that same scenario in Brockton. He called jet sweep.
Well, that was the best play at the time. So, my bad, Greg. Right, Good job.
We have got to take a break. Are you here for a little bit?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Ty Law's here. It's a Ty Tuesday. We'll be right back.